All righty, welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church, and everybody that is here, it's good to see some new faces here that haven't been here in a while, so great to have you. It's good to have everybody that's online with us, and I don't know if you know this, but thousands of people are watching us right now around the world, and just amazing when we usually just deal with about 40,000 that we have here in the building today. You know, one of these days, God's just going to come and lightning strike me and just take me out of here. He said, enough's enough. But anyway, we have thousands of people, and I'm just amazed at how God is working through media that I probably would have never got involved with unless this is happening. We're going to just sing some songs. We'll have a time for prayer. We'll have time for offering, and then we'll give God some glory in our worship of our songs. We're just going to do a little medley here. I've worked up a medley, but I don't know. I have two medleys, one before the offering, one after. We'll see if it works or not. I get goofy on Sunday mornings when I'm here by myself, but y'all glad to be here?
Yes,
just checking. I don't know if we have to go fast or not. We can do a little bit where we'll speed up and slow down. And we'll go, resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and
standing on the cross.
prayer, then we're going to have the ushers come forward. This will be a different word of prayer than normal. Well, we're still praying to the same God, the one and only. Politics aside, we have a sick president. We have a sick cabinet, sick staff members, sick people that are dealing with hospitalizations. And I think, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, but not politically, but I think we'll be able to see in this last chapter of Jonah some issues that we need to start taking into our own effect. And I really hope that there is an attitude adjustment in our country with whoever is in power. There ought to be a respect. It's, well, you got to earn that. No, please. There's an authoritative position that is God-given, whether you want to believe it or not. God knows who he wants in power in every country at any given time. He's in control of that. He's in control of that. So whoever's in there, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever, we can go run down white African-American, we go run down every other category you want to take at. People that are in that position to serve deserve us to lift them up in prayer. When you vote this year, vote how God leads you. But vote. That's a God-given right that some countries don't get. And I think sometimes when we take that stuff lightly and then we start complaining no matter what they do, good, bad, or ugly. And we're going to see this with Jonah here in a minute, so I won't have her too much. But I just want to lift up everybody that is in political office that is dealing with what's going on and why it happened, how it happened. That's not a concern of mine. Just, Lord, make them well. Take care of them. We lift them up, and we just want to surround your presence with them. So let's just have a word of prayer, and please leave the attitude at the door. This is about our country and our leadership, and let's lift them all up to the Lord. Dear Lord, we want to come to you, and I thank you that you're not Republican or Democrat. I thank you that you are a respecter of all persons. I thank you, Lord, that we all are in need of a Savior. And Lord, where we get messed up is we want to help you in the judgment role that only you have. Lord, we're not praying for us to be right, for them to be wrong, and for the wrong to get sick and the right to get well. How can we do that when, Lord, you've healed me time and time again, and I am so wrong and in need of a Savior? And you keep healing me. You keep forgiving me. You keep showing mercy. So Lord, in our country right now, may we just reflect your love to everybody without exception, without boundaries, without prejudice, without any kind of limitation. May we be just more like you. Between me and you, God, that may make some of us miserable because it's out of character. But Lord, our character has been wrong so many times. Let's put you on and in and let it shine through us. Lord, be with every person, Lord, that's in that political positions, governors, senators, congressmen, House of Representatives, whatever, mayors. Lord, there's so many people, and our president and his wife that have this virus. Lord, no matter what the cause, no matter what the vaccine is or not, no matter what has happened, we ask that you heal each and every person that has that. And Lord, keep our White House, Lord, safe. Protect them. Lord, as we go into the final days up to the election, may the battles not be about fighting. May it just be about ideas and different ideas. And us still agree to disagree, but still be able to have coffee. Still be able to communicate. Because, Lord, once we shut that out, it's over. It's locked. And, Lord, our governments have been locked down for a long time. Break that open only with the love that you can give them. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We give you victory. Let them feel your presence right now. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
But don't get online and start saying, boy, he got political today. No, I didn't. We're part of America. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for the head of all of these different departments and things. So that's good. I tell you what, let's take up offering now, and we'll have the ushers come forward. I don't know if they even get the plates. I did. Gentlemen, we got all kinds of cords going around, so don't get tripped up in that. Gilbert, I'm going to have you, if you can come up and push it back a little bit. Come on through here, so people around the world can see you, and but God can hear you. But just come out here, and they can hear you. Nobody wants to see your backside, although we see it more often than we would. Okay, if you want to, just bless the offering if you would, sir.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather in your name, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you brought forth to this church. And like your word says, Lord, that we should not lean on our own understanding, but always acknowledge you and trust in you, Lord, and that you will direct our path. Father, I ask that you bless this blessing, Lord, and to give joyfully and generously. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
can't wait till we can get to heaven and sing like you were meant to sing. And I don't know, when you get here on Sunday mornings around 7 o'clock, I'm just screaming in here. I don't know, just singing and playing. And it just so, it just lets all that garbage, when you just can sing and nobody else watches you or listens to you. And I love, you know, you look down at this carpet, kind of beat up, isn't it? Remember, I bought this carpet at Home Depot for a couple of dollars a square yard. It was the cheapest carpet you could buy.
Looks pretty good to me.
Yeah,
it
me
works.
Too.
I think so too. But folks, when Christ takes a piece of cheap, worthless material, it becomes on holy ground. And I'm always for making our place as nice as it can be, respectable. But I think he would prefer us to be real and original and authentic first. And then be what he wants us to be. And then worry about the way we look. So if you're all dolled up today, I appreciate it. Y'all look nice. But he's more concerned with your heart. I'm trying to catch my breath, so as long as I can get my breath caught back. We have going to be a good week out here in the building before we get started. This week, they're going to be putting all the tile in the bathrooms. And the following week, they'll be doing the toilets and the urinals. And I know that's just wonderful. People out there, you know, in California, New Zealand, oh, they get new toilets. But anyway, for us folk here, that means a lot to us. So that's going to be happening next week. So we'll be praying for that. And praying as we, hopefully the city will be out here and mark the property so we can run the water line. And we're getting close. The bank wants us in that building, or at least the building done and the crew out of there by the latter part of November. So we're down to the point of, I just can't say, oh, hopefully, we're down to the point you better. So now we're starting to straighten up and straighten arrow. It's been an interesting week with battles that we're dealing with, but that's going to be, just going to put that off. We're just keep praying that the Lord deals with things. And God has come through this week in mighty and miraculous ways in so many different areas. So I just want to thank each of you for your love and support and your patience. I'm thinking, and I hate to even say it, but I'm thinking I'm going to have Christmas Eve candlelight service in the new building. I really believe we're going to be there this year. Whether we have an occupancy code or not. I didn't say that. We'll have that edited out. We may have it in there anyway. I can't wait to get the chairs out from the storage and get them in there. And the floor work's going to be done probably last, and we've got that under control too. So everything's just falling together. There's not that much left to do if you get out there and look. So I mean, obviously I have to put the sound equipment in and things of that order. HVAC, finally get that hooked up and get that hooked up with electric to it to where we can start air conditioning the place because of the humidity. We need to get that started to get done. But anyway, thank you for your support of that. That was all just why I kind of caught my breath, because I want to go back into majesty and scream some more. Anyway, get your Bibles out if you would in the book of Jonah. If you have any time tonight, Goldie Reed is our guest tonight. Yes, Robert.
Did you see the tree going in the window?
Yes, that's there for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but it's like, yeah, we deliberately want that tree growing in the window. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when plumbing comes in, that'll cut that hole up. I thought that was just an interesting, what do they call those? Terrariums or?
Terrarium.
We have a little terrarium experiment outside of the building. All right. Atrium, okay. Tonight, 8 o'clock is Goldie Reed. She's going to be on tonight. She's a young lady from Las Vegas that has been involved with every kind of abuse that you can figure. And it's going to be a really raw show tonight. But Jesus Christ got in her heart and saved her. And she just unbelievable word, you're a Christian now. Now she's trying to help other people that's been abused and trafficked in prostitution and things of that order. And she's going to be talking tonight on the show at 8 o'clock. So that'll be worth your time if you want to hop on. If you're all there, say, oh, yeah, Jonah 4. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to finish this up today. We got about 30 minutes. We're going to kind of just hit this and try to finish it. And if you notice the last few weeks, and I took a break in the middle of that, and somebody told me I couldn't do that. I can't remember. Somebody wrote me this week and said, you can't take breaks like that. Well, I didn't know I couldn't do that. Now I'll probably take more breaks now that they told me I couldn't, because I'm that kind of rebel. But anyway, we've talked about in the first chapter, we had you write this down beside chapter 1, I think last week, where Jonah rebelled and ran from God. The second chapter, we talked about Jonah repenting and running back to God. Chapter 3 that we spoke about last week, Jonah was getting restarted, and he was running with God. Now, this is interesting here because we see that Jonah made lots of mistakes. And Jonah comes into this story now in chapter 4. You're thinking, hey, it's all good. And I don't know if you know this whole story or not, because some people just know about the well eating him and then spitting him back up. Oh, then everything was fine. But there was something that we talked about earlier about an attitude that didn't quite change in the belly of the well inside of Jonah. Jonah obeys God, but he still has kind of a different spirit, and he's rebellious. So chapter 4, we're going to see Jonah regretting and resenting because God changes the plans, and Jonah doesn't like it when God changes the plans. I love. Neither do you. God says, do this, I'll do this. God says, I want to use you here, and you do that. Go, okay, there you go. I'm set now, right? I'm on cruise now, right? And then God goes, oops, no. You go, oops, because I got you there. Now do something completely different. And that's when we start, but I don't want to. I'm happy where I'm at. And that's exactly what Jonah starts doing. He pouts. And he goes out like a brat here in a minute in chapter 4. Goes out like a brat and pouts. He said, God, how can you do this to me? And I love this. And he's made so many mistakes. And we talked about 5 mistakes that Jonah has already made. And we're just going to recap. So don't go, oh, no. But the 5 mistakes he already has is 1. Jonah thought he could ignore what God asked him to do, so he runs. Mistake number 1. 2, Jonah was prejudiced against the people that God wanted to show love to. He's prejudiced against them. Nineveh? Not me. I'm not going there. Are you crazy? Okay? 3, Jonah cared more about his politics than the people's salvation. He goes and tells everybody in Nineveh, repent or God's going to do something to you. And then when God changes what he's going to do to him, Jonah gets mad. 4, Jonah was more interested in his nation instead of the whole world. And then 5, Jonah reluctantly fulfilled what God wanted him to do. But he does it with the wrong attitude. We do that a lot. Now in chapter 4. So that review wasn't that hard. We made it. Chapter 4. Jonah makes 2 more mistakes. And both of these mistakes. Now, I know people like me to preach to where, just tell the story, Greg. But I want to tell the story to where you can put the shoes on too. Jonah makes two mistakes in chapter 4, and both of these mistakes involve resentment. Something may have happened to you a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that you resented, and you're still mad about that. Jack may have people that he deals with probates? Because I think if you really want to get people feelings and emotions on edge, go to a reading of the will. Because that's where you see it. And sometimes you get the short end of the stick. And you resent that or that person or however took care of them at the last days. And because of that, they have the power to do whatever. And all of that stuff that happens, you know what happens when those kind of things, everybody's got a story. You know of somebody that this happened to. There's a resentment that comes in. And I want to assure you, resentment never helps. Resentment always hurts. Always hurts. It will always get inside of you and eat you alive. You got to let it go. Some people, and I know there's some people listening online right now, and I wish I could call out their names, and maybe there's some in the room here that resent God because you took him too early. She didn't deserve to go then. He didn't. That was not my plan for him to go then. Or he had all these dreams, and all of a sudden something happened, and it changed. And we resent God for that. And it eats at our lives. And we say, why did you let this happen, God? How dare you? Been there, done that? I have. You question him, and that causes all kinds of problems. These two mistakes that Jonah made is one of his next mistakes that he makes in chapter 4. Is he resents God's plan because it didn't fit with his plan. He didn't like it. Look in Jonah 3:10, back up one. Oh, we're going backwards now, Greg. We're going to be back in chapter 1 soon. No, you were hanging there. Jonah 3:10. When God saw that the people of Nineveh had stopped to their evil way, he had mercy on them. He canceled the destruction that he had threatened. When it was canceled, Jonah got mad. How dare you? When God said, warn them, he warns them, and then they turn from their ways during the time, and God says, okay, I'm not going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Jonah goes, oh, how dare you? And he starts resenting that. And there are signs that subconsciously you are resenting God right now that we see here. Okay? Signs. The Bible says that Jonah and the change of plans upset him. It upset him. If you're frustrated with what's going on in your life, you're not pleased with what God has done with you and has left you with, and you think that you're just all alone, you start experiencing that frustration and that anger. I want to let you know, frustration is a subconscious emotion that you're having a problem with what God has done or with your life. You're frustrated. The second thing, Jonah gets mad. He gets furious. He gets angry. Are you angry at the situation that you're in and you're mad at God? He was livid. He was aggravated. He is indignant that God did not destroy the people who had hurt him. I wonder how many people will be really upset when President Trump walks out of the hospital and goes, I feel pretty good now. Let's be honest. How many are going to go, should have killed him. God, you had your chance. We could have got him off the face of the earth. We deal with this stuff every day. You deal with somebody at the office that you know is doing things wrong. And the promotion comes up and it's you and them and they get it. And you hope, God, let them get hit in the parking lot. They didn't deserve that. And God's saying, I got something better for you, Greg. Chill out. Trust my plan. But you get frustrated. You get angry because it doesn't go your way. The nerve of anybody in our country to get on TV, whether you're in a movie or on a talk show or a TV show, or you sing music that we turn on the radios and say, it serves him right, good riddance, that he's sick. I will never listen or buy or go to anything that any of these people have anything to do with. They are not of God. You have to pray for healing. But Jonah, when the prophet, had the problem. And some of the people around us, and maybe you do. Frustration. Anger. And if you don't, call me the day after the election and we'll talk again. Because there'll be one side that is experiencing all of this. Then we see, first part of chapter 4, he starts complaining to God. Self-pity. He goes, oh, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. He starts having self-pity. Frustration, anger, self-pity. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, now, Jonah says, I ask you, Lord, please kill me. Wow. Please kill me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Yeah. Two of the things that comes when we start resenting, when we start getting irritated with God, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, depression will set in. Jonah says, it's better for me to die than to live. Can you see and hear the depression? I don't want to go on anymore. Just don't want to make it. You know, I'm not trying to make this political, but how many people have you had stand up the week before an election and go, if this certain president becomes elected, I'm moving to Europe. Alec Baldwin still lives here. I don't understand why he didn't move to Europe like he promised.
Everybody.
But they do that. You see that? I just can't do it. I don't want to live anymore in this country if I don't get it my way. But we do the very same thing with God in our own life. If I can't have it my way, then I'm going to pout about it and I'm going to get depressed. And then the last thing that is a subconscious sign that it may be some resentment that you have with God is you become suicidal. Lord, just kill me, okay? My plans aren't working. Just take my life. And as you see that in the scripture, it's progressive. That's what happens when you hold hate in your heart. And I'm begging you, as your pastor, as your friend, whoever you're holding hatred against right now, whoever you're holding resentment against, let it go. let it go. Especially if it's against God. Especially. Depression is frozen anger. That's exactly what it is. And when you start swallowing all your emotions, I want to let you know, your stomach always keeps score. It will eventually eat holes in your body. It will eventually eat and corrode things that ought to be working right inside of you. Normally this happens when death enters into families and we're not expecting it to happen at that time. Or illnesses. Or dreams are broken. Or jobs are lost. And we sit back and go, I don't understand. But the second mistake that Jonah makes, which is really the seventh overall in the book, is resenting God's mercy and goodness to other people. Look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Then Jonah complained. Who's he complaining to? Who's Jonah complaining to? God. You done that? In the middle of the night, have you raised your fist? I said, how dare you do that to me? Didn't I, and he's talking to God here, didn't I say before I left home that I knew you would do this, Lord? And look what he does here. This is interesting. Jonah has the attitude, frustrated, angry, and all those we just went down, self-pity, depression, suicidal. And then he said, you know, God, I'm complaining to you. I just knew this was going to be like you. Talking out of both sides of his mouth. Now notice what Jonah admits that he knows about God. Verse 2, I knew you were gracious and compassionate. I knew you were patient. I knew your love is unlimited. It's everlasting. It's eternal. I knew that you would rather forgive people than punish them. All this information Jonah knew, but he still gets depressed. Really? I mean, really? If you knew that was his character, why did it shock you? All these good things about God that Jonah knew, Jonah still gets depressed. Why? It's because we want forgiveness for ourselves, and we want justice for everybody else. That's exactly why. And you do too. I do too. Every time somebody blows past me on the interstate, I'm going 85, they're going 90. I pray, Lord, let a cop stop that car. Even though I'm going 25 miles over the speed limit myself. And has it ever happened? And then you drive by and you honk and wave at the guy. Got you. And then you fork more. And there you go, back to your speeding. You don't want justice for you. You just want it for everybody else that beats you to the stoplight, and you're right there next to them. And then you start looking in other ways. You don't want to make eye contact with you because that's when they pull out a gun. But that's reality. We want forgiveness for ourselves and justice for everybody else. So, let's get real today here as we finish this up. Only got a few minutes. Why do you want God not to forgive somebody? They hurt me too much, God. They hurt me too bad. They did something that I never expected. They left me high and dry. Who is it that hurt you so much that you don't want God to show them mercy? We have this. And let's be honest, because I know there's people in my life that have hurt me so bad. They didn't deserve forgiveness. But I pray they got it. Because I don't deserve forgiveness. And I pray every day that I get it. I want you to hear that. Matthew 6, stay in Jonah 4. Write this down. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive others their wrongs that they've done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs that you have done. Who's talking there? Jesus. There's an uh-oh moment there. When you refuse to forgive, you're burning a bridge that you're going to need to cross one day. Don't burn it. You need to learn to forgive everybody who has ever hurt you for three reasons: past, present, and future. You let them off the hook, for you have been forgiven of all the things that we have been forgiven in the past. You forgive them because you're holding on to hurt right now, and it's just going to make you miserable. And then in the future, need more forgiveness, because I'm not going to be perfect before I walk out of this place today. And I need it in the future. Jonah 4:3. And yes, we're going to finish it. Oh, I still got a few minutes. I'm going to do this. We're going to turbocharge this pretty darn quick. Jonah 4:3, I'd rather be dead than alive when nothing that I told them has happened. What was he worried about? He's worried about his reputation. I told them they were going to die. I told them, and then you changed your mind. You came back and gave them grace. And there's an object lesson here. Because the second half of this chapter, God has to teach Jonah a lesson and instill it in him. And it's one that every one of us need to learn in our life. So if you're asleep, wake up for a few more minutes and then we can go. You're going to have to look at this. Your life is filled with interruptions, with dead ends. And you think you're going that way and it's just a dead end, detours coming up, plans in your life. All of our plans just got kicked to the side door so often. So when things don't go exactly the way you want them to go, this is what I want you to do. One, remember, God can't see. God can see what I can't. God can see what I can't. Then God asked Jonah. Jonah's all ticked off. Remember, he's ticked off. What right, Jonah 4:4, what right do you have to be angry over what I've done? Why should you be angry that I forgave all these people? God's kind of going, are you God? Jonah, hello. I didn't see your name on the sign. I don't remember conversing with you when I created you. Why are you all been out of shape? Anytime you doubt God's wisdom, you're going to get in trouble. Because God's God and you ain't. Job 38, 2 through 5, or 2, 2 and 3. Lord said to Job, who are you to question my wisdom? Where were you when I made the world? Good question. How dare you question me? Where was you at when I created Texas? Write it down, Ecclesiastes 3:11. There's a timing for everything that God does. than Jonah 4:5, because we've got to get through Jonah. I don't want to go back in the Old Testament, keep working my way through. We've got to get through Jonah. Jonah 4:5. Then Jonah left the city of Nineveh, and he found a place east of the city to sit down and pout. The and pout's my version. And there he tried to make a temporary shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. He does the warning, and then he goes out and goes, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch them now. See if they burn or not. See what's going on, although he's upset. When I'm going through a tough time, number two, I want you to do, and I don't understand the tough time that I'm going through, I need to remember, God is good to me even when I am a jerk. Even when I'm crabby, even when I have an attitude, God is still good to me. And we need to understand that. If I was God, I would kill everybody and start with me. But God still loves me when I have the wrong attitude. When I come in and I just say the wrong things with the wrong way, he still is good to me. Look in verse 6, chapter 4. Then God arranged, the same arranged about the fish. Remember that? Same arranged about the storm. He arranged a broad leaf to plant to spring up quickly and provide shade for Jonah from the hot sun. Me, I want to let him bake. But God was going to teach him a lesson. He provides shade to relieve his discomfort. This made Jonah very happy and comfortable. Now notice, then God arranged, custom made. That gives me the third thought, that when I have an attitude towards God about it not going my way, that God's in control of every detail of my life. Yeah. Every single little detail. Keep going, verse 7 and 8. You've got to make it to the end of the chapter. But at dawn the next day, God arranged again for a small worm. I love this story. He goes from a huge fish the size of the largest school bus you can find to arranging a small worm. God arranged for a small worm to chew through the stem of that large shade plant so that it withered and died. Then when the sun arose, God arranged a scorching wind from the east, and the sun blazed so hot on Jonah's head that he grew faint and he wanted to die. Isn't that amazing? God, thank you for the shade. And it's gone. I want to die. We do this in and out in our life in so many different ways. It would be better for me to live, to die, than to live. So far, and I only got, and do me a countdown, I got 5 minutes of things. So far, God's arranged in this story, a plant, a worm, a wind to create a storm, dice that would reveal who was causing this trouble on the ship, a fish to transport Jonah back to where he was supposed to be, a fast-growing plant to provide shade, a worm to eat the plant for breakfast was all arranged. And I want to let you know, sometimes in your life, disappointments are his appointments. Sometimes in our life, when we have something that disappoints us, it's God saying, I'm trying to get your attention. I have this whole page I wanted to read to you, but I'm not going to be able to. But in a nutshell, God will use the hugest fish to get you to have an attitude change. But God will also use the littlest worm to do the same thing. God uses different things, major and minor, to get our attention so we can return back to Him. Verse 9. Then God said, God asked Jonah again, "What right do you have to be angry that the shade plant withered and died?" And Jonah said, "I have every right to be angry, and I'm angry enough to die." Unbelievable. So what's the point? We need to focus on what's going to last. Jonah 10 and 11. Then the Lord said, "Jonah, you're more concerned about a plant that died, even though you didn't even plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't make it grow. In Nineveh, that city over there, the one that you want to destroy, has more than 120,000 people who didn't know their right hand from their left, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I be concerned about that great city?" Jonah, don't get so caught up in all the little things. Focus on what matters. People and their hearts. People and their salvation. Whether they agree with you or not. There's so many life lessons. We can just keep going on and on and on. But so many life lessons that we can get from Jonah that we need to have installed in our life. Don't run from him. He's got a mission for you to do. He's got a destiny that he wants you to reach. He's got a thing that he wants you to do for him. And if we keep running, he's going to get our attention. And then sometimes we have the wrong attitude. We're not happy with anything that's going on. God will allow us to have something happen that gets us an attitude adjustment so we can focus on how wrong we are and how important my neighbor is. Not just that they planted a tree on my side of the fence, but how important that neighbor's soul is. But we've got into our world and our country that I want to be right. And the rest of you can go to hell. That's what our country is at now. Church, we can't be that way. We've got to be different. We want him to be right. We want us to be the light. And we want to be able to say, everybody needs a chance to go to heaven, whether you agree with me or not. No matter what banners over your door, no matter what religion you are, what political party you're from, you have a right to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because I had it too. I needed to. And I received him. Let's close with a word of prayer. We're doing all right. No worries, want to come to you and I thank you so much for who you are, for your love, for this story. There's so many things, Lord, that we can get out of this. Lord, just make it real to us. Show us how we get so choked on the little things and we let the major things go. Lord, it's not our right to judge. It's not our place. I don't think you're going to Fed Express us any robes of judge that we can judge other people tomorrow. Why do we keep trying to do it? I don't know. But Lord, show us the life lessons that we can take from Jonah and apply them to our own life, that we don't have a resentment towards you. We don't resent when other good things happen to bad people or bad things happen to good people. Lord, you've saved us and turned us from dead people to living people with the power of the cross and the empty tomb. And we give you praise for that. Lord, be with us as we go out into this community and we show them love like they've never seen before. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Amen. Have an awesome, awesome day.